Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
We were singing a lot about love. We were singing a lot about love tonight. And I really feel like God was talking about, or God dropped in my heart, a word about love and actually walking out what that meant. So, we're going to go for it tonight. This is about activating a lifestyle of love. I call it just start somewhere. Just start somewhere. Now, obviously, you know, like that story about, being in Hawaii and looking at the guy with the short leg and being like, oh my gosh, what can I do? God's just going, start somewhere. Start somewhere. You know, tonight is all about Jesus, right? We talked about being the followers of the way. You know, if I put on the, I can put on the Christian jacket. I can put on my membership jacket when I walk in. You know, I can look all good. I can look like, hey, you know, I'll show up for church. I'm ready to go. But if I don't know Jesus, it's a fake. If I don't know Jesus, if I'm not actually seeking out and I'm going for something outside of it, maybe a little bit of performance. I feel like God's getting back to the heart of knowing what it means to actually be a follower of Jesus versus just a Christian who maybe wears the jacket. I, for years, wore that. I would say maybe I really got saved like 7 years ago. You know, I grew up in the church, all this stuff, but really, in the end, knowing Jesus, at the heart of that is repentance. At the heart of that is repentance. And that's where it started for me. It's like, wow, okay, what does it mean to actually truly follow Jesus? Christians were known to be Christians, followers of Christ, because they acted like Christ, not because they ever gave themselves the title. It's function versus title. The world needs Christians who don't tolerate the complacency of their own lives. The world needs Christians who don't tolerate the... But God doesn't call us to be comfortable. Out of default. Getting out of default. But God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if he doesn't come through. Right? To talk about, hey, just be obedient. Just start somewhere. You feel like, and I would explain like this, you know, giving words of knowledge or prophesying over people. I would explain it like this, because sometimes, you know, it happens different to everybody, but this is the easiest way that I explain it for me. You know when a car passes and you have maybe a second to understand what the color of the car is? Oh, it's a white car. Yeah, but if I didn't look, I'm going to miss it. I feel like in your spirit, when something comes, it's like that. It's like God's like, if you're going to look, if you're obedient, you'll see it. And then in an instant, you got to step out and actually do something with it. Because he wants you to be obedient in that moment. He's like, trust me, trust me, trust me. Work the trust muscle. I love it. Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one. Mother Teresa said, today is a very fashionable day to talk about the poor. Unfortunately, it is not fashionable to talk to them. You can't call yourself a follower of something if you don't allow yourself to be led by those principles and outwork them, right? She said, go into all the world. Not just stay in your house. You know, I really feel like this message is key because, you know, when I was getting, you know, when you asked me to come speak, I was like, all right, what is the word? What is the word that can really engage some sense of what you guys are going out to? What does this next year actually represent? Vision and unity, but then actually moving into the space of actually being a follower of the way, where it's like, okay, I love seeing these numbers. I mean, I myself am actually a business person. I run a consultancy full time. So I'm a huge fan of what you guys are doing. I believe that God is doing, total side note, this is a rabbit trail. God is doing something in the business world. Like there is something happening in ministry and marketplace being combined. I really feel like going back to the story of obviously the servants with the talents, stepping out, right? One servant got given one, then there was one that had two, and one had five, right? The second two doubled it. The first one was so afraid, didn't do anything with it, right? So I really feel like God is doing something where he's going, hey, you got an opportunity. Step out. Don't be afraid. Try something. Try something. Because in the end, like, obviously, tithes and offerings are awesome. But I feel like he's given the opportunity to us to multiply through the means of marketplace with a Holy Spirit understanding and a Holy Spirit mentality what you can actually do that can profit the kingdom in a way that has not been done before. So I'm a huge fan of what you guys are doing. I've been in business, for a long time. I would say, you know, working in the fashion world for 12 years now. And it's crazy. The four walls of the church. Combine marketplace with ministry. In the end, ministry is not constrained to the four walls of the church. Ministry is basically it's the realm of influence that you walk in every day. That is your ministry. So what are you doing with your with the relationships that you are encountering? What are you doing with that? How are you walking in boldness, being prophetic, offering to encounter people where they're at with the love of Jesus? So that's what we're going to talk about. Three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Yeah. Holy Spirit, what did he say? Yep, there it is. Yeah, it's love. To show that love is feasible, love is possible. The love that Jesus functioned in is how we must live. Today is about function and deliberate action. I really feel like the word for you guys for this year is about deliberate action. How can I function at a level of love that I have not before? In a level of boldness that I have not before? How can I get over my reservations, my hang-ups, my embarrassments, my self-consciousness? My identity is not here, it is here, okay? And I'm very thankful that Jesus wasn't confined by what people thought or would have turned out really different. It was a good thing that he didn't care, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, great example. I'm so glad he didn't care. Jesus lived a lifestyle with deliberate and practical love. Jesus lived it every single day. He engaged the inconvenient, the messy, the annoying, and loved at all costs. I have to pray that that is how I live every single day because I don't always do it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, if the greatest of these is love, was that the greatest for me? Ask yourself that question. If the greatest of these is faith, hope, and love, is love the greatest thing for me? You know, I was sitting on a plane and I was like, I don't think that's true. How can I get better at that? How can I walk more in the perfection of how Christ walked, in that love that he walked in? I think I was a little bit selfish. Like, how are we always getting over human nature, our own selfishness, to actually walk in the way that Jesus did? Did I love like Jesus? Do I love like Jesus currently? And I came to the conclusion that I probably don't. But the opportunity is that we have grace to actually get better at it. Thank gosh. I don't know how Jesus did it. Oh, wait, he was God. That's how we did it. Okay, it makes sense. You know, it's so funny. We sing about all these songs, right? I really want to love you. Love came down. Love goes on. Love is a war. Nothing like your love. Oh, how I love you. The reckless love, like, you know, a bit of everything, all of it. You know, I'm going to call myself a Christian and a follower of Jesus only if I live like he did. It means I allow myself to be led in the example that he was. I can't call myself a Christian really unless I'm really walking in it somewhere. What is that first spade of the last 5 years? Like, what does it actually mean to walk in it? Just start somewhere. What is that first space of obedience? You know, we talked about it starts with your neighbor. Who is it? Just encouraging that person, right? What is that first space of boldness? You know, like tomorrow, Monday, even tonight. Like, Holy Spirit, what is the first person that I can encounter with boldness? What do you have to say? I always be like, Holy Spirit, who do I need to connect with first? Who do I need to connect with first? Like, we have the opportunity to communicate with heaven whenever we want. Sometimes we don't. We just ask ourselves. God's like, yo, I'm up here. Are you going to ask me something or what? You know, salt draws out good flavor, subtly hidden in food and preserved what would otherwise spoil, as do those who claim to be children of God. You, beloved, are the salt of the earth. But if salt becomes bland and loses its saltiness, can anything make it salty again? No, it is useless. It is tossed out, thrown away, or trampled. Whoa, that's a little intense. You get tossed out, thrown out, trampled. Whoa. That's a big deal. I'm like, God, please don't throw me out. I'll try. I'll try to be the flavor that you need me to be. I'll try. He's like, don't worry. You got grace. It's okay. It's all right. But it's like getting that point across. He's like, he really wants us to engage it. He's like, be that flavor for that person. Deliberate love will affect any atmosphere immensely. Deliberate love will affect any atmosphere immensely. Love it. You guys ever read the Voice translation or the Passion translation? A little bit. They're pretty cool. I like them. In the Voice, it goes, but now faith, hope, and love remain. These three virtues must characterize our lives. These virtues must characterize our lives. Talking about the character, like the deep infrastructure as us as people. Those are our character traits, right? It's like the girding, the pillars, the sturdy steel that makes up any big building. Those are like the pillars. What are the things that are characterizing us? Is that faith, hope, and love? Well, it should be. Jesus was emphatic. Love must characterize our lives. It must be the distinguishing factors of our persona, naturally and spiritually. I love the way Jesus loved, because it was a little bit dirty. In all honesty, he just went anywhere. It didn't matter what it was. You know what I mean? That person on the train, you're like, oh man, I don't know if I can love that person. They smell a little bit interesting. Maybe they've been on that train car for a little bit too long. And Jesus is like, dude, if I needed to go up and hug him, I would've. And you're all like, I don't know, it's gonna ruin my jacket. I'm going out. God's like, stop. Just take a moment. Trust me. This person's more important than whatever that thing is that you're going to. I'm always reminded of that opportunity of people that sometimes if they don't look and smell of them. I love it. Love in the dirt, in the mess, in the literal and also in the symbolic dirt of people's lives and complication. Like, get in it. Love is not just a like one and done kind of thing. It's not solely based on the rules. It's encountering the heart, which means it's deeper. It's more in depth. You got to spend time. You got to spend time. And I love the way that Jesus did it. It was deliberate. It was not haphazard. It was love specifically focused on being there to change a situation, to flavor that which was spiritually bland and had no love. This is a great story. One of my good friends, Jared, an amazing singer, and I asked him, hey, he had a really cool encounter a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, like, speaking of train encounters, you guys want to hear a story? Okay. All right. Ricky's story. This was two Friday mornings ago. I walked on the subway, tired from the week that had just ensued. There were no seats on the N train, holler, but at the end of the car was a gentleman that was sitting hunched over with a cardboard box underneath him and an available seat. You know, it's like 7 a.m. Who's had that situation? With my thoughts totally centered on me, thinking, oh, great. I sat down. The man turns to me and says, you're a Christian, aren't you? Which I replied with a curmudgeonly grin, yes. Overjoyed, my new travel companion claps, hollers, and praises that God has heard his prayers, and I sat next to him when no one else would. He went on to tell me that before I came, he was singing to God, asking for help, that God would send him a Christian, and there I was. Whew! In all honesty, I was half-heartedly hoping this moment would pass because I was tired and felt like I had nothing to give. Who has felt like that? Me, half the time. As my companion began to explain, it became clear sometime, we just need to cry it out. My friend had hit some rough times and had been riding the subway the whole night after a dispute that was the result of a bad decision or indecision, and whatever was in his box was helping him deal with the results, but he needed some help to get on with his next decision. With curiosity, he wanted to know what church I went to, and as I began to share with him some details, he wanted to know more. As he listened to my testimony, he began to cry, and I told him, don't cry, because I'm still here, and God kept me there. As he asked me more and more questions, and as he explained, he was a singer, and he wanted me to hear his heart cry to God. To say the least, my heart could feel his pain in my ears, experience it. There wasn't a dry eye near us. Everyone could feel his pain and emotion. True to the course of our conversation, my friend asked me simply, do you sing? I still had myself lined up in the center of my thoughts, and I said, yes. And as one would think, well, at least he did, it is only fitting we should sing together on the train at 7 a.m. on the way to Manhattan. I was so covered with the anointing at that point, but I said, no, it's too early. We're on the subway. In my head, I was thinking, I'm in a suit, and we are civilized, and there's a time and a place for these things. This is really the time for headphones and ebooks. Come on. Well, oddly enough, he said to me a phrase that comes to mind when I make worship into a performance and not about the one I am worshiping. He doesn't care how you sound. He just wants to hear you sing. So I sang, sinking deep to be exact, and began to cry as we crossed the Manhattan Bridge. What is that?
Your love so deep is washing over me. Your face is all I see. You are my everything.
The moment wasn't about me, but knowing our ride was coming to an end and this moment wasn't about me, but my brother, I lost concern for my reputation. Remember when David was walking back up? With the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. They're bringing it back to Israel. They're bringing it back to Israel. And he's like, you know, what's a better time to dance? Like, I'm going to dance. I'm going to get out. I'm going to do it. And there's always the critics that are like, what are you dancing for? It doesn't look cool, man. What are you dancing for? You look kind of like a weirdo. David's like, I don't care. I got something to praise for. I got a victory. I have a celebration. There was something that is important that I need to be showing my reckless love and abandonment to. Knowing our rod was coming to an end, and this moment wasn't about me, but my brother. I love it. He lost concern for his reputation. And he said, I love this line. He said, I realize these moments become the legacy of who I am and what I would die for. I asked him if we could pray. So openly and with fervor, I prayed with joy and words that the Father would have for him. And he wept as I began to prophesy who God said he was, holding hands as men should do, laying hold to the answers and strength that God wants us to have at the Canal Street stop. One more. We're almost there. Simply put, this was a God moment because he mattered and God preordained it. We got opportunities all the time. God's like, if you just be obedient, just step out. Just step out. I preordained this. I made this happen. All you got to do is just do that one thing, that little inkling you're hearing, that little word of encouragement, whatever it may be. Sometimes we miss it. It's all right. But the opportunity is that we miss it less than we actually do it. Simply put, this was a God moment because he mattered and God preordained it. I mean, at this point, I felt like we were the only ones on the subway. But we certainly were not. It was 14th Street, Union Square. It's next, and I look up at the handle in front of me, and it reads, pray. I'm like, what? I show it to him. He hasn't seen it yet, and he has just lost it, crying and thanking God. He had to go up a few more stops, but he got up and walked off with me, leaving his box, saying he didn't need it. It's been 2 weeks, and I hope to see him soon. Despite how we feel, he is always there, ready, willing, loving, and constant. Always there, ready, willing, and constant. God always gives us an opportunity to leave a legacy in every encounter that we have. Right? What memory are we leaving with those people? What are we walking out and doing in boldness? Always. Before we finish. Jesus loved when it was inconvenient. Always. It's on us. Love when it's inconvenient. You know, I started leaving a little bit earlier to work because I know, hey, I want to give time for God to do something. So I'm not late to my responsibility if I have to stop and do something. So how can you plan to be generous in a way that you have not been before? Leave 15 minutes early. I don't know, allocate $20 that you're just gonna give with what God says every month, every week, whatever it may be. What are those things? You're giving God some of the margin. You're giving him an opportunity to use the time. God loved when it was inconvenient. You know, it talks about in Matthew 9:30-37, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus earnestly and certainly charged them. See that you let no one know about this. He's talking about, see, this is when he drove out the demons, and when he went from city to villages, is when he was doing amazing things. He says, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. It's an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for us every single day. Jesus loved with or without the reciprocation of gratitude. Jesus loved with or without the reciprocation of gratitude. You're like, but if I love you, if I do this thing, you got to give something back to me. Wrong. Investment's not like that. That's selfish love. That's like, oh, I'll give you something. You give something back. Jesus didn't give like that. He's like, I'll give with no regrets. I will give whether I ever see any return. I just know that I'm sowing something and that it's an investment. It's not something that I'm expecting reciprocation on. It's an investment. Jesus loved with or without the reciprocation of gratitude. Jesus loved even when it went against his natural sensory boundaries. The natural stuff, right? We can get all spiritual. It's totally fine. You know, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit, doing this, doing that. But sometimes he's like, there's a natural stuff that comes up. He's like, no. It's never about the natural. Just be obedient. Be obedient. Jesus loved when it was criticized. Jesus loved when it was criticized. He wasn't all our entire world, as we remember. But he did the most amazing thing that changed our entire world. We have opportunities to do those types of things every single day. Even when it's criticized. Even when someone's like, that's not cool, man. Yeah, it is. I'm doing it because Jesus. That's what I'm doing it for. I know that God has a plan for you. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to be bold. Yeah. Thank you, sir. It is good. Living a life I love this. When we finish, love is not a spectator sport. Love is not a spectator sport. Yeah. Love is not a spectator sport. You know, I remember, you know, I have to probably pray for boldness every single day. I really feel there's something about praying for boldness tonight, right? Because we can hear about all these encouraging things, but you're like, where do I start? Like, what's next? Like, what is the first step out? We can hear all these inspiring things, but I think the how is the most important thing, right? The how is the most important thing. We hear about the what and the when, but the how is what we actually do and how we apply this walking out from here. So I really encourage you. If you feel like you really want a greater level of boldness, stand up. We're going to pray for that right now. I really feel like God is going to release a greater sense of boldness. Like, you want more? You want to walk in what God has for you? Just a little bit more? You know, like that full dose? Man, he's got something so powerful for you. That means like he's going to give you that, just that. Man, I'm walking out. You know when you walk out with that outfit you just paid a bunch of money for and you're like, man, I feel good. Because you know, you look good. He's like, that's what it means to walk out with the boldness. Walking out with that amazing boldness. So again, we put our hands out like we're going to receive something. Come on. Yeah, God, we just ask you for a sense of boldness. God, that I would just impart the level of boldness that you have given to me on everyone here. Yeah, that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear. We just thank you for those that have had the gift or the inklings of prophetic to be amplified in Jesus' name. I just thank you for an amplification of the prophetic, that they would see and hear what you want them to see for the people around them, for their neighbors, for their work colleagues, for the people in college, in school, wherever it may be. Yeah, greater levels, that you would just fall in this place in a way that it has not fallen before, that they would just feel something in their heart, just walking with the full armor of God in that place of truth and salvation and peace and understanding. Yeah, we just thank you for boldness. I also lift out, I pray for a gift of healing for those that have had, that there is a way that we all sick. I just thank you that there will be a sense of healing just coming down from heaven on all of you, that there is a way that we all have the ability to pray for the sick. Yep, we just thank you for our healing anointing to come and to be released in this place on all that are here. Hungry for you, Father. Hungry for you. It's a name on the building. It's a name here. We are hungry for you. We just want more of you, Jesus. More of you. Yeah, we just thank you that we want the level. We talk about the perception of Christ, looking through the mind of Christ, God, that we would just have that perception of you, that perception, that we would feel the exact same thing that you feel when you see someone. That deep love, that deep compassion, but then also the understanding of how to change the situation. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just sit in his presence. Feel like he's doing something right now. Yep, he's just doing something right now. Come on. Yeah.
Oh, oh, we welcome you. Yeah, yeah, there was nothing like you. Oh.
Yeah, we just welcome your presence, Holy Spirit.
Oh, have your way. Do what
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.